March went out like a lion, awaken up the water in the bay. Then April cried and stepped aside, and along came pretty little May. May was full of promises, but she didn't keep them quick enough for some. And the crowd of doubts and Thomases was predicting that the summer'd never come. But it's coming by dawn, we can feel it come. You can feel it in your heart, you can see it in the ground, you can see it in the trees, you can smell it in the breeze. Look around, look around, look around. June is busting out all over the meadow and the hill. Buds are busting out of bushes and the romping river pushes every little wheel that wheels beside the mill. June is busting out all over. The feeling is getting so intense that the young Virginia creepers have been hugging the bejeepers out of all the morning glories on the fence. Because it's June, 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 June. Just because it's June, June, June. June is busting out all over. The saplings are busting out with sap. Love has found my brother Junior and my sisters, even Lunar, and my ma's getting kittenish with pap. June is busting out all over. The ladies and men are paying court. Lots of ships are kept at anchor just because the captains hanker for the comfort they can only get in port. Because it's June, 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 June. Just because it's June, June, June. June is busting out all over. The ocean is full of Jacks and Jills. With the little tails a-swishing, every ladyfish is wishing that a male would come and grab her by the gills. June is busting out all over. The sheep ain't sleeping anymore. All the rams that chase the ewe sheep are determined there'll be new sheep, and the ewe sheep aren't even keeping score. Account it's June, 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 June. Just because it's June, June, June. Hey folks, it's June. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And remember, it's a listener-supported network. They deserve your support, so head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Look for that donation button and use it. I'm proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hi, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Frank Cordero, Philip Ferrugio, Mickey Z, Azura Crispino, and Ava Bird. And so this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Los Angeles, California, in Austin, Texas, in Queens, Astoria, New York City, and wherever you are. And now my recommended list for June 6th as we all continue on our path to becoming fully woke. Recommended, worth your time. From Information Clearinghouse, Israel's Role in 9/11 by Philip Giraldi. FBI evidence supports prior knowledge or complicity. From Information Clearinghouse, How Did Russiagate Begin by Stephen Cohen. Russiagate is the worst, most fraudulent political scandal in American history. Manufacturing War with Russia by Chris Hedges. This new Cold War predates the Trump presidential campaign. It was manufactured over a decade ago by a war industry and intelligence community. The STEM School Shooting Hoax. Find it at 153news.net. Handler exposed in STEM School Shooting. 153news.net. Colorado STEM Shooting Hoax. 153news.net. And finally, the June issue of Penn Magazine is now available. Find it at pennmagazine.us. Penn Magazine is named in honor of Penn Jones Jr., a small-town journalist, newspaper reporter, editor, publisher, one of the first researchers into the John F. Kennedy murder, an honest newsman who did not lie to us. Mike Polachek, editor, Chuck Gregory, publisher.
And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by crisis actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Crafts and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and so much more. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with this message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplice after the fact, by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. We find Buzz the space dog and Ricardo the space cat getting ready for the big anniversary by chasing each other around the big oak tree inside the Rose Garden. Someone blew a whistle that Ricardo did not hear, but he chased Buzz as he raced inside. They flopped into their cushions in front of the TV just in time, just as the announcer began. And now it's time for another episode of The Adventures of Buzz the Space Dog. We've heard all about Russian space monkeys who went into outer space and didn't come back until the Soviet Union was gone. And then when they did come back, they were expecting maybe a parade or a nice dacha down on the Taiga, Taiga Mew Lane. But it didn't happen. Well, the Americans had their own space dog program going, trying to match the Russians with similar results. And those dogs returned from having been sent up by President John F. Kennedy and splashing down after November 22, 1963. The world they returned to was barely recognizable with Lyndon Johnson in the White House. Some of those dogs took the option of shooting right back out to space. Some moved to Ukiah. Some lived on the streets for years and years. Some raced to dig up money buried in the backyard and moved to Edina. One of those was Buzz. When we last left Buzz, he had just received a certified letter hand-delivered by an unnamed new mail person packing Pomeranian spray. Buzz pinned the envelope to the floor with his paws and ripped it open. It was one of his old space pals, Neil the Space Poodle, a real lapdog's lapdog, Neil was. Uh-oh. He sniffed the letter closely. The letter was supposed to have been delivered days ago. Neil would be here today. Oh, crap, thought Buzz, and he pooped on the carpet and sniffed it. Neil was a big shot. He'd actually been to the moon. Buzz was only a test dog, just Earth orbit stuff. They didn't have the technology then. Computers were as big as whole rooms then. The radiation belt getting by a, well, machine, all that. It came much later. Buzz hurried around, dusting, straightening, trying to make the house look presentable. He pulled out all his slick moon photos and his moon rocks and set them on the kitchen table along with an excellent Eau de Toilette 1969 Apollo Once. Buzz sat in the chair with his nose looking out the front window. A long black limousine pulled up right up to Buzz's front walk. The driver opened the door and out walked Neil, the stately poodle, still with so much style and class and pizzazz. When the bell rang, Buzz was right there, but he willed himself to wait till 1002, then nosed open the door. Buzz took Neil's hat, collar, whistle, and muzzle. They gave him the tour. Then they hopped up to the kitchen table to settle in. Buzz poured the toilet water into the bowls and pushed over the kibble with his nose. They talked about cats and birds and people and balls for a while, then sticks. Said Buzz. I've been meaning to ask you. He put one foot up on the table to drag the photos over closer. These moon pictures. He could sense that Neil was already getting tense. His ears were pointy, his fur bristling. They almost looked like they were done in a studio, at least to me. The lunar lander thing, there's no dust underneath it. And wouldn't there be? Buzz nosed the moon rock over where they could both see it up close. How do we know this is a real moon rock, not just something? Well, Buzz pointed with his nose toward the backyard. I've seen lots of these out there. How do we, you know? Neil growled, showed his fangs. He stood and curled his tail between his legs. Buzz pushed the rock closer, got the other photo in his teeth that Neil was supposed to have taken of the other dog with the perfect reflection in the face shield. That seemed kind of improbable. Tossed it down in front of Neil, and Neil nipped him. Neil bit Buzz right on the paw and then hopped down with his nose in the air and trotted over to stand in front of the front door. The driver opened it, and Neil pranced down to the limo and stood by the back door until his driver came and opened it. Buzz stood in the open doorway and watched him leave. Buzz saw himself, just the reflection, in the darkened windows of the limousine as they pulled away. Stay tuned next week for another adventure of Buzz the Space Dog, when we will see Buzz ask himself yet again, what was that? Thinking he might have heard something, and then admonishing himself. Nobody else heard it, he said. I must be going crazy, or maybe it's Alzheimer's. I wonder I put that dog ears conversion chart that came in the Alpo bag. Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. You can find Phil's columns all over the internet. Just look. Google for Philip Ferrugio, that's F-A-R-R-U-G-G-I-O, and you will find some great columns. He's very prolific, and every one of them is really good. And now here we are, Phil Ferrugio with It's the Empire, Stupid!
Good evening, working stiffs, spectators, shoppers, and voters, but not citizens. I begin my column tonight with the profound work of the great anti-empire documentarian Paul Edwards at the end of his fine new piece entitled Idiocracy. Quote, "The naive cry out for answers to our absurd paralysis, but there are none. Cassius said the fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings. History is a tale of failed societies that lack the will to save themselves. So our impotence is not unique. Perhaps then, given the vast catalog of our self-inflicted disasters, the question is not how we can be saved, but whether we should be." Unquote. So folks, if you go out into the real world of our neighborhoods, business offices, supermarkets, libraries, and other places of community interaction, and you go and speak to those you rub elbows with, sadly, not too many, to this writer's tally of understanding, even though the real facts of what is really going down concerning Julian Assange, Chelsea Manning, Iran, and Venezuela, to name just a few recent issues. No, the herd is either deeply engrossed in their electronic gadgets or sports shows, or those who actually get their info from the mainstream media, the important tongue-in-cheek Mueller report, border wall, Trump impeachment, yes or no, or other trivial scandals. Remember, after the tragedy of 9/11/01, when Bush Jr. made the most pertinent message to we suckers out there, go and shop, go on vacation or shop. This was important so as to give the rogue elements of this empire time to literally cover up the crime scene. Meanwhile, the good old mainstream media did its best to echo the empire's line as to who did what to us. Folks, fiction is always stranger than truth. A mere 18 years later, and how many of your friends and neighbors either A, don't give a rat's ass as to what may have actually went down on 9/11, or B, still believe the lie as to who did the deed, according to the propaganda. Then, in November 2002, the spectators and shoppers became the voters, who allowed both of the empire's political parties to vote in concert, with but few exceptions, to give the Bush-Cheney cabal to go ahead to do the most heinous act of attacking Iraq, both illegally and immorally. To quote one famous commentator, I can't recall his name now, who always ended his monologue with, "The rest is history." As our economy, not the one parroted by the Dow or the S&P, but rather the Main Street one, slides lower and lower towards the abyss, the spectators and shoppers continue to do just that. The mainstream media continues to salute our flag held hostage, and the Congress cannot find enough funding for the military-industrial empire. As the herd once again becomes voters, very few seem to care that half of their hard-earned federal tax dollars goes to the militarists. No, they are too hypnotized by those men and women in uniform, mostly from lower, low-income families, always dressed in camouflage as the camera pans them. The giant flags across the fields and sports arenas, with the honor guards and that effervescent mood as the anthem is sung, shouts to the world that we are at war. Meanwhile, we become deeper entrenched in a non-union, part-time employment with shitty health coverage America. Paul Edwards is so correct. We are an idiocracy. Thank you.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Coming up in the next half hour, we'll hear from Frank Cordero in Des Moines. Actually, Frank is in Los Angeles this month. and Azura Crispino in Austin, Texas. Please stay tuned to Revolution Radio, the listener-sponsored alternative to the lies presented in the mainstream media. I'll be alone each and every night while you're away. Don't forget to write. Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long. See you in September. See you when the summer's through. Here we are, saying goodbye at the station. Summer vacation is taking you away. Have a good time, but remember, there is danger in the summer moon above. Will I see you in September? Or lose you to a summer love? Counting the days till I'll be with you, counting the hours and the minutes too. Bye, baby, goodbye. Bye, baby, goodbye. Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long. Have a good time, but remember, there is danger in the summer moon above. Will I see you in September, or lose you to a summer love?
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles, a show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have again received word from Randall from Stevens Point. I got my gun and my truck. Told you I'm headed for the woods and up the mountain, and that's where I am right now. I can see y'all right from right here through my scope. Don't worry, I got the safety on. Well, it's on now. Tell Bubba Jean I always loved her. Don't follow me. Got on my camo jeans. You'd never find me. When you hear about the big shootout and all that, that'll probably be me. Randall's note continues. The essence of any false flag terror event is a story. It has to be compelling. It has to hit us on an emotional level. It must feature heroes, villains, victims, and an assortment of supporting players. It must have a setting, both in space and time, which becomes an essential part of its core message. The story will have a plot and subplots that are heartbreaking, angering, inspiring, and uniting, even if ultimately causing anxiety and a sense of helplessness in the audience. Our sense of security is temporarily threatened by a disorienting act of violence, but we are reassured that those in authority will protect us and that we will find strength in overcoming the adversity. And more from Randall. Dave McGowan explained why people are so hostile to the idea that Apollo was not what we were told. It's not the lie itself that scares people. It's what that lie says about the world around us and how it really functions. For if NASA was able to pull off such an outrageous hoax before the entire world, then keep that lie in place for four decades. What's that say about the control of the information we receive? What does that say about the media, the scientific community, and the educational community, and all the other institutions we depend on to tell us the truth? What does that say about the very nature of the world we live in? This is why the term conspiracy theorist has been cultivated and baked into our culture to defend those in power from having the big lies challenged.
This is Andy Rooney reporting for the New American Dream Radio Show. Do you ever wonder, well, the kind of people we have running our government? If we really knew the truth, I believe we would be astonished. Forget about George Washington and the cherry tree, Ronald Reagan making America strong again, the George Bushes riding into the baseball game on national TV to throw out the first ball, then sitting in the front row. Forget about Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the liberal Democrats who care about you. SpongeBob, The Simpsons and South Park, Calvin and Hobbes, Snoopy have more to tell us than those guys. At least in the Soviet Union, when they saw nonsense and lies printed in Pravda and TASS, at least they knew they were lies. We are still at the infancy stage in our development of not questioning the lies. And so the next time there is a bombing or a threat of a bombing or a bunch of baby blue backpacks found on a brown bench in Bemidji, the healthy American, the true American, the real American thinks CIA, FBI, the police. The real patriot refuses to stand for the national anthem, and rather than another knee-jerk reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, not until I get some questions answered, because this is important stuff. This has been Andy Rooney reporting for the New American Dream Radio Show. Don't you ever wonder? Our next guest for the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us from Des Moines, Iowa, the heart of America, the Des Moines Catholic worker. Frank is a former Catholic priest and a former federal prisoner and county jail prisoner for peace. And we're going to listen now to the conversation between Frank Cordero in Des Moines and Chuck Gregory in Fort Lauderdale.
Information on the president, damaging information on the president.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
Oh, God. You want an interview, don't you?
I sure do.
Okay. You caught me. I'm in L.A., Los Angeles. I'm at
what?
The Catholic Worker there.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I fixed a deal with my community so I can get 2 weeks away to come here in Los Angeles, cloudy, now sunny, Los Angeles, to visit my good friend Jeff Dietrich and his wonderful wife, Catherine Morrison, and the L.A. Catholic Worker. These guys are the folks who are on Skid Row, and they do a soup kitchen 3 days a week, and they'll serve between 8 to 1,000 people. These guys do big stuff, and they have this soup kitchen right in the middle of Skid Row, and I don't know if you've kept up with the recent homeless issues, but the Skid Row poses a very unique challenge for the city of L.A. because over the last 10 years, it's always been a problem for humanity and human care of homeless people.
Right.
However, the population has continued to grow on a yearly basis. They just did a study at the L.A. Times and says there's up to 65,000 or 6,500 homeless people in this area, in the city. And most of them reside in this. And this is the deal. They reside in tents on the sidewalk.
Really?
It's like an occupation.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
they're ingrained, and they try to move them, and they could just come right back. And the L.A. Catholic Worker folks have been on their side and in their camp, trying to support these people that be dealt with humanly and humanely, looking for better housing. So it's just a really, it's a flashpoint in this country where the scars and ugliness of homelessness are just right out there. And they just can't seem to budge this population, no matter how many times they bounce them and throw them in jail. Very fascinating culture in America for me, because I was here 10 years ago, and it wasn't nearly as bad. So
really?
That's the news I can give you. Try. I expect to be able to tell you guys this, you know, at least the perspective from Elliot. These folks have been doing this Catholic Worker 7 years longer than us.
Wow.
So when we started the Worker, Jeff and Catherine and the L.A. Catholic Worker already established senior houses. And through the years, I've always had a great sense of being mentored by Jeff. He's also very articulate, and he's a writer. And they have the Catholic Agitator coming out of the L.A. Catholic Worker. You know, it's a flagship community and a flagship newspaper.
Wow.
So I'm just grateful to be here. Jeff had some health issues, and he's in his 70s, and Catherine's in her 80s. I'm telling you, there's no retiring in the peace movement, except that they say that they are actively trying to, move out of the leadership role. And in fact, Jeff recently announced retirement, and he does not go to any of the community meetings. It's a blessing.
Wow.
Yeah. But, they're folks I've always admired, and I'm grateful I'm out here, because I'm looking for, I've always, for years, I looked to Jeff and Catherine as, look how they do it, and that's what's coming. So, I got to figure out some kind of way of retiring in the next few years, too, whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
I mean, Chuck, it's the nature of our lives at this point.
It is.
Growing old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any growing old plan?
I'd like to grow old. Yeah, that beats the alternative.
That's your planning on doing it. That's good. Well, It's just for me, it's a gift to have other people to share in this experience. Not that people don't get old. I mean, everybody in my family is getting old. What I'm saying is getting old with other people in the Catholic Worker clan. and seeing how to best serve that that movement that we love and care about. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And one of the bottom lines that both Jeff and I want to meet as we exit is that we don't want the young people we leave behind to be mad at us, because they're either the ones that are going to wipe our ass or write our epitaph. Either way, it serves us well to appreciate the people who are trying to follow in this stream.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that you got to go out there and visit out there, and I hope you continue to have a good visit.
I'll be coming back the 14th, so you'll have another call here in California. I'll give you a 7-day update on what's going on.
Well, all right. Sounds good.
All right,
I look forward to talking to you next week. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, Chuck. Bye-bye.
Our next guest of the show is Azura Crispino. Azura Crispino joins us each month from Austin, Texas. She is a professor of philosophy at Austin Community College and also a prisoner inmate advocate. And now we're going to hear from Azura Crispino in Austin, Texas.
Hello, New American Dream listeners. This is Azura Crispino with PAPS, Prison Abolition Prisoner Support. And I have a special treat for you. I am going to be interviewing a friend and someone who was my pen pal for a couple of years and is now on this side of the razor wire. His name is Lukman, and we are going to be discussing the importance of writing letters, but also how it is to celebrate the holy month of Ramadan inside of prison. So thank you so much for joining me, Lukman.
Oh, thank you for having me, Azura.
Well, if you wouldn't mind,
to all the brothers.
Assalamu alaikum. I wanted to start just by telling a little bit of how we met. So your cousin, Douglas Lucas, asked me if I would please write to you, and I did. And then it turned out that we had a couple of shared interests, and so we kind of started the conversation that way. But what in general would you say is the importance of receiving letters?
The big importance that it makes a person feel as though they are still part of the world. You know, it's the common phrase for the outside, for people on the inside, is the free world. They refer to it as the free world, you know, as if it's another world completely, because that's exactly how it feels. It feels like you've been removed from the world, and now you're in another world, you know, a very different world. And, you know, as you can imagine, prison life, the prison world is so different that it is like you're in another world now. So when you have contact from the outside, you don't feel so separated from the free world, as we call it. It gives you a sense that you haven't just been sort of abandoned or forsaken or just cast away. You know, you're still part of the world. You're still part of society. And you're not alone. So just that in itself, that contact from the free world, someone speaking to you personally, makes that a reality to you, because it is so different from the outside life that it's very easy to just feel as though you're no longer a part of the world that you were born and grew up in. And you can feel very, very, very forgotten. You can feel very forgotten and lost, really. And getting those letters from the free world written to you really alleviates that. So it's vastly important, just in that sense. It's vastly important. I think it actually helps to sort of combat institutionalization. You know, I mean, no matter what, you're going to do some time in prison, you're going to be institutionalized in some way. But if you have still contact with the outside world, you don't just completely lose your identity and completely identify yourself as an inmate in prison, and that becomes your entire identity. When you have contact with the free world, you know, who you are as a human being, living here on planet Earth, is kept alive by this contact with the free world.
Well, thank you for that. My next question to you is, I believe that you converted to Islam in prison. Is that correct?
Yes, in 1989, I did.
Okay. And I guess I just wanted, if you wouldn't mind, for those of us who are not Muslim in the audience, could you just briefly speak about the importance of Ramadan? I know you're not allowed to eat from sunup to sundown for 30 days, and that it ends in Eid. But that's, I think,
right,
all I know.
Okay, well, the month of Ramadan is the ninth month on the lunar calendar by which the Muslims go by. And that's the month where the Quran was first gave to be revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, in the year 610. So every year during that month, as we are commanded in Quran, we fast during the daylight hours. Like I say, we do not eat, we do not drink, we try to abstain from a lot of worldly activities. It means that is the month that the Quran was sent down. We read each day of that month, we read 1/30 of the Quran. And there are extra prayers that we do. There's a lot of studying that we do. Of course, it doesn't really apply to prison, but for the Muslims who are married and who are outside, you don't have sexual relations during the daylight hours either. Ramadan is the experience of it is always sort of a rejuvenation, a reinvigorating, you know, sort of a catharsis to purify you and strengthen you. So it is one of the five pillars of Islam. It's one of the basic tenets of Islam is fasting in Ramadan. So it's obligatory unless you are, you know, too sick to do it or you're engaged in some sort of a long journey, a travel or something like that. Then you don't do it. You can make up for it later if you're able to. If you're too sick to fast, period, then you don't. But if for some reason you can't fast at that time, you can make up for whatever days that you missed afterwards. But it is definitely a requirement, just as our making our prayers, you know, and the zakat, and you know, and the making of the pilgrimage, if we're physically financially able, it is a requirement of religion. But it's definitely a very spiritual time. There's a lot of religiosity. I mean, there's a lot of prayers. There's a lot of study. There's the recitation of Quran. But it's really a time of sort of really getting in touch again with your faith. You know, we go to Juma every Friday, so that's sort of a weekly rejuvenation. And we pray every day. That's sort of a daily rejuvenation. Well, this is sort of a yearly rejuvenation. So, I can't stress really how important it is, but it is vastly important. That's why every Muslim in the world does it. That's why it's such a big deal. You know what I mean? It's just
so
really big.
Let me ask you this. What's it like to celebrate Ramadan in prison? Can you just take me through your day, you know, maybe a standard day?
It's very challenging. You have to get approved to be on the Ramadan list, and that's something that the inmate coordinators work with the unit chaplains and administration to get done. And every morning they'll call us out before they feed breakfast to everyone else, and they feed the Muslims, and that's always very challenging. You know, a lot of the officers, especially in the morning time, because they're working the night shift when the unit is generally locked down until breakfast. During the month of Ramadan, they have this new thing they have to deal with, which is getting all these Muslims out, getting them down to the chow hall, and getting them to bed, and then getting them out of the chow hall to the chapel or to the education building or wherever it is they're holding their services every morning so they can commence their fast and do their morning prayers. And a lot of times we read Quran early in the morning time there. So it's a big challenge, you know what I mean, because there's a lot of resistance in a lot of the units to it. They're just very aggravated that this is an added thing to do. And, of course, you know the stigma that Muslims have on them anyway in this day and age, ever since, you know, 9/11, of course. So there's a lot of attitudes, and the officers are real quick to jump on us and get on us, and we have to file grievances every year. And then we go through our general day after that. After we commence our fast and do our prayers, we leave and we go to our work or back to our cells or whatever it is that we generally do during that time until it comes close to the time for breaking the fast, which is at the at sunset. And that's usually a little bit easier to get to. But we gather there, and and we pray. A lot of times we have four or five different classes going. We'll have prayer classes for new Muslims. We'll have different study groups, Arabic studies to get more familiar with the Arabic language that we read, because the Quran is in Arabic. Several different classes. We have access to videos, Islamic videos. We watch those. And we stay there until it's time to break the fast. And we do that, and we do our sunset prayer, Maghrib prayer. And then we leave from there, and we go to the chow hall. Now, of course, everyone's already been fed by this time. The eating schedule is much earlier in prison. So we go there, and we usually have Muslim inmates who are cooking the food for us. And then we eat, and we shower together, and we get back. And it usually takes a very long process. They have to, movement in prison is a big deal. It could take an hour to get from one end of the building to the other. You know what I mean? Just because there's just so much security and clearing for this and for that. So it's sort of always a constant struggle. But what it does is it creates a lot of unity for the Muslims in there, because we're having to stick together and stand together and support one another in getting through this. In the free world, there's really no challenge as far as, no one's trying to stop us. No one's aggravated at us because we're fasting we eat at home and we eat at the mosque and everything's kind of open and welcome. And in the prison environment, no one really welcomes Ramadan other than, your fellow Muslims. But some of the unique qualities there is that you spend every day, twice a day, you're with your brothers, the same brothers, every day, twice a day for 30 days. And this creates a lot of brotherhood for us. And that's actually something that's kind of missed in the free world a lot of times. A lot of times people don't come to the breaking of the fast in the evenings, especially in the morning times here in the free world. They'll start their fast, including me, start their fast at home, maybe go to the mosque to break fast, maybe. But it's amazing to say that there are some benefits to it, because it is so challenging and it can be very difficult in there. But that difficulty brings about a real sense of belonging in a community that is very, very important. And, we struggled long and hard to have these services, as you're aware of, since the Brown versus Beto consent decree in 77, in lawsuits, in endless amounts of grievances that get filed, ever since then. So it is a struggle, but this strengthens our faith and our unity as a community.
For sure. And I can speak to that, listeners, as well. When I went to visit Malik Washington, he was wearing head covering. And when they brought him in, one of the correctional officers immediately said, "You're not praying. You're supposed to remove your head covering." And his response was, "I just want a lawsuit for myself as well as my Jewish brothers and sisters and anybody else who has a religious reason to cover their head. I don't have to remove this head covering." So when I saw them get into an argument about it, my eyes.
Yes.
But listen, I wanted to ask you a different question. You used the word brother a lot. So obviously,
yes,
in prison, you are celebrating Ramadan only with other men. How is that different than celebrating out here?
Well, it not only do you have the situation of being in a prison environment that's pretty much hostile to just you being Muslim, much less inconveniencing them about practicing Islam. You go to a mosque, and you do have a sense of family there. There's women and children there. Some people have their wives, their mothers, their sisters, and their kids, and their little brothers and sisters, and so it creates a very family environment. But you don't really have that kind of family feel into it. It feels very almost militarized sometimes. Because you're surrounded by hostility. And it's all male, and this is something that bros on the inside miss, when you break the fast in the free world, especially, there's lots more women and children there, so this feeling of a more of a real family community, a community of families, rather than a community of brothers. It just creates a sort of a different vibe, if you know what I mean. It's there's nothing oppressive. There's a lot of your children laughing, you're playing, you have games for the kids, you know. You have I went to last year with my wife and my daughter there many times, and that's just that by alone is very different than being in a prison surrounded by men who are all convicts and who are surrounded by sort of a hostile administration that really doesn't appreciate you doing this. They feel forced by the courts to do it, and so this just creates two very different scenarios.
Imam that...
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to hear the rest of that interview with Azura Crispino, but what we do have in the next half hour is Abba Berg and Mickey Z.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. it just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Ava Byrd. Ava Byrd is a poet living in Los Angeles, California. Ava was one of the first guests of the show when we started the show about 8 years ago, and she's still with us, so we appreciate that. And we're going to hear right now from Ava Byrd, a poet in Los Angeles.
Hi, Chuck and Mike. Thanks again for having me on the show. I always look forward to it. And I've got a couple of new pieces ready, and I'll just read one segment of it right now for you guys. And just wanted to wish everybody a very happy summer. We're getting into June, and it's summertime. So I just wanted to wish everybody a happy, safe summer. And just one quick announcement. If anybody is in the Los Angeles area, I have a gig coming up on Wednesday, June 19th at Flappers Comedy Club. I'll be roasting Hollywood. It's very entertaining. I can do a lot in just a couple of minutes. So come on out and see me. But in the meantime, I'm going to share with you a new chapter out of my book. And another thing, that other stuff you like to do, just a party thing, just recreationally, a little piece off of the privileged block of I deserve it. I've worked hard, and on my days off, I want to relax. I need it. My girlfriend asked me for it, and if I don't give it to her, someone else will. So I need to get this delivered ASAP, and I can afford it. I put in all those hours at the office, all those phone calls blabbering gibberish to other useless bullshit eaters, other assholes like me. I need to escape for a minute. I want the good stuff. I want top shelf. Not the stuff laced with formaldehyde and rat poison. And not that stuff with the MSG and the GMO and the WTF. I just want the best for myself, that is. I want top shelf liquor to numb away the truth of what my country does and how I ignore it. With my checks written to the Department of Treasury. That pesky IRS just harasses until the bank says, here it is. Just take it all. He's an asshole anyway. He doesn't give back. He snorts it up his nose like we do. He supports terrorist organizations like we do, too. So let him have it. Take it all. He owes us. Who cares if it's unconstitutional? Who cares if it's against the law? We are above the law. We own the banks and that funny money, the invisible balances. That online statement can just be erased with a levy, you know, with a lien. You have no rights. You are a slave. It never even ended. You don't know that? We are the masters. You do what we tell you to do. We are the law. This is your new alphabet. And you will speak it. This is your new currency, and you will use it. You will spend your funny money and smile. You will love your pink plastic flamingos and trinkets from China. You will pay off our debts. You owe Russia and China too, along with the IRS. Your American gods and your Western influence, the friendly fire and happy-go-lucky fats that just sit around and pretend they've got nothing to do with it, nothing to do with the setups of society, the gods, the oil, the bank heists, the TV hoaxes, those mass shootings, those Hollywood sets, the fake-ass news media that's allowed to lie to you. You don't know that either, I guess. You just needed that hit, that bong load of smoke and chemicals. Your water's dirty, too. You know that man, right? You haven't called in and let them know? You didn't tell us? How are we to know if someone didn't speak up? You didn't use your rights. Just let them sit there and rot like your intestines. SIBO and IBS and ED and PCOS, EBV and PTSD, NSTD marks in the skies from all the lies, all the violence and bombs, form signing to blasting away for oils and gods and temples. I don't get it. It's not in my nature. I don't want to bomb other countries with my paychecks and school funds. I'd rather it go to my community, building the places that need to be built for people, to have clean water and air and good for all the good stuff, the healthy stuff. I just want to be nice and peaceful for all. Even the birds and cats, trees and bees should be happy here. They should be buzzing and flying and having fun out there, having the time of their life, because it only lasts a minute in real time. It just goes so fast, like my cells flowing, like my yoga growing, like my body growing, and my mind and spirit too. I hear it. I'm over those gods of disaster and invasion. I just want to live free on the lands of the soils and grasses and, oh my goshes, it's so beautiful here for everyone. It's so amazing what we can do if we all get together and just say, no, we won't take it anymore. We can't. We can't take the oxygen going and the ozone depleting, the ice caps melting, and tell the seals I'm sorry. We've had it too. The oil spills and oceans and killing us, turning around and denying it. We see it. It's so ugly, this destroying, this disrespect for the earth, this willingness to murder without conscience, the air and the water, the cows and chickens. I hear them screaming from here. I can feel it through the neighbor's anger, see the adrenaline raging like those animals he ate for lunch. It's all on the inside. It's all on the karma of our actions. And ignorance is no excuse. I mean, you have Google. You can look it up. You know now. You've got crazy relatives who actually read and research. They tell you over Thanksgiving dinner that your Department of the Treasury and flesh eating is causing so many problems. What about the birds? What about the mercury in those fish? And I smell a rat. I smell a dead body coming out of you. I smell it in the lobby bathroom. You're smelling up the bus, stinking up the train as you ask white meat or dark meat. Isn't it the same? Isn't it just parts of life that got shredded for your greed and entitlement? I deserve the dead body in my SIBO, the IBS, the rot festering in Washington, D.C. I can smell that too, all the way from California. Oh, just kidding. It's corporate fascist sanctuary police state with medieval diseases cropping up again on the streets. That poop on the sidewalks in San Francisco, that jewel of a sanctuary city for Snapchat and Facebook, faking the feeds of your dumb phones, fronting for the technocracy, keeping up with the tax loopholes. This is our city now. No more public bathrooms. You clean up that shit. Those homeless just have to go where they want, like Google does. Just shit where you eat and shit on those that serve you. There are no penalties or stiff consequences for the elite. They write the laws and hire the guns. It's their town now. Newsom doesn't care as long as he gets that payback, that PR spot. It's crazy-fornia, where they can't even take care of their own. So we better just cut loose, run and grow our own and share it. Share it all and let everyone have it. Let them be free to roam about the planet without thought of these crazy things. All right, that's the end of my chapter. And I'll see you next month with a lot more.
Ava, that was very powerful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Can't wait to share more next month.
I can't wait to hear more next month.
Have a great summer. And I'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good. You have a great summer, too. All right,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our next guest on the show is Mickey Z. Mickey Z is a writer, a poet, and activist living in Astoria, Queens, New York City. And right now we're going to hear the conversation between Mickey Z in New York City and Chuck Gregory in Fort Lauderdale.
Well, here we are, June already. This year continues to go very, very fast. But at least at the beginning of every month, we get to reset things a little bit. And we get to talk to our friend Mickey Z, who is in Astoria, New York. And welcome to the show, Mick.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Always happy to be here and be your reset button.
Well, I think I could really use a reset button right now. It's been one of those days. Everything I start, something more important comes up, and then I never finish anything. And you know how those days go? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. I don't know. So, okay, with all that out of the way, hey, what the heck's going on in New York City?
Oh, we have some lovely spring weather, I'm happy to report. It's been very rainy up here, but I remember last year, as early as May, we needed air conditioning up here, and we got rain, but the temperatures, when it clears up, the temperatures are nice, and I'm always complaining about weather stuff, so I want to give a shout out to Mother Nature that New York has done pretty well with the weather. So that seems to lift everyone's spirits here. It's a little less cranky in the city.
Well, all right. Well, that's good.
Yes.
Well, let's see. Where are we going to go from here? Why don't you tell me, I don't know. Are you, go ahead.
Well, since you mentioned New York, I can mention that more specific to like current events and so on, our far from beloved mayor, Bill de Blasio, announced that he's running for president. So that's a source of amusement up here in New York, because I think his approval rating in New York is like 20%. And so I've come to this conclusion when you look at that crowded Democratic field, that people are very much catching on that in this time of technology and social media, that the reasons to run for president, from my perception, have nothing to do with winning and just a little bit to do with policy. But these folks that are running, if they can just make a little bit of a splash at some of the debates, they'll get book deals, they'll be guests on the talking head shows, on all the networks, their profile will go through the roof, and opportunities will come their way that they don't have now. It's almost like it's a strange time period where running for president of the United States of America is like a strategic career move towards other gigs or something to just rise yourself out of obscurity. And every time I turn around, someone else announces. So we were here in New York, I think it was like a universal sound of laughter when Mayor de Blasio decided to run, because it's like, I can't imagine that he has any intention of actually following through and any fantasy of winning. It's just like repositioning himself into a different political space or media space.
Well, now that's a very interesting thought. I mean, I've really been wondering, why in the world are there so many people in this race? It's crazy. I shook hands with one of them a week and a half ago. John Hickenlooper, the former governor of Colorado, is a classmate of mine, and I went up for my 45th reunion at Wesleyan University. So he was at our dinner, and I said hi to him. Didn't really get to talk much, but mentioned the presidential thing. So.
Yeah, I seriously wonder that I know that some of the late night talk show comedy shows are doing bits like asking people, everyday people on the street, if they can identify the candidates of the Democratic primaries, and meaning like they would just make up characters and then interject real candidates in there. And nobody could differentiate, you know, outside of the high profile people, of course, nobody could differentiate between the candidates and like the actors or made up names, or even some of them were real names of just people who do other things. And it's really caused me to ponder. I can't speak to your former classmate, of course. I don't want to impugn on his sincerity for running. I'm sure some of them truly believed that they have the answer. But I just have never witnessed a situation where a full 18 or 19 months before the election, there's got to be about 25 Democrats running. And it's impossible for me to believe that every single one of them envisions themselves as either the presidential or vice presidential candidate. So when I begin to contemplate why else would they be doing it, I have to assume it's to reposition themselves, and it's like to brand themselves. So to put it in more 2019 language, where you create a brand and maybe like taking on each other and putting on a spectacle and being turned into a meme or something like that, getting the most tweets. And then the next thing you know, you have a different type of career, which could eventually lead you to run again as a high profile person. But it's hard to imagine any of them winning, getting like more than 2 or 3% of the vote. There's just not enough votes to go around. And the vast majority of those 25 are folks that unless you're an absolute political junkie, you've never heard of them. And in my lifetime, the only time I can sort of think of someone loosely coming out of nowhere, it was Jimmy Carter. But that was such a different time period. And that it's virtually like comparing the Dark Ages, you know, to the space age. It's impossible to equate them. So I don't know. Do you have any musings as to why so many candidates? Is it the Trump effect? Is it this branding thing? Or do you think that many of them really believe in themselves and think they can win?
Well, I would like to think that they believe in themselves and think they can win.
Okay.
But a somewhat more paranoid part of me thinks that one of the best things that could happen for the Republicans, it would be a highly divisive Democratic primary that basically ruins all the candidates because they're fighting each other so much, instead of trying to get behind their candidate. In a way that might have happened last time, where we ended up, a lot of people really wanted Bernie, and the powers that be wanted Hillary, and of course Hillary was the nominee, but a lot of people didn't want to vote, or just absolutely could not find it in themselves to vote for her. I really wonder if drawing on that experience, somebody might be trying to destroy the next round.
I think that's a very salient point, in that even trying to look at this completely objectively, like not saying Bernie over Hillary or Hillary over Bernie, there was a point where the writing was on the wall. Like you said, the powers that be were not going, this was not going to be Bernie's round in 2016, yet he stayed in the race, and his critiques of Hillary created a blueprint that Trump took to a nuclear level. And you could, I think, without stating any favoritism towards anyone, I think you can make a pretty safe statement that Bernie damaged Hillary Clinton as a candidate, where she should have won as the experienced person over some, you know, a apprentice host, but she got the popular vote, but she didn't win. And so now you look at who's in the race now, and it's fascinating, because as someone who has moved in and out of the radical left, I understand that folks are calling out the more middle of the road Democratic candidates, for example, Joe Biden. But strangely, when I hear Obama saying this, you're turning this into a circular firing squad, and where you're going to have nobody left, it kind of dovetails with what you said. If the goal is to get Donald Trump out of office, then the strategic move to me is to unite behind whoever is the most electable. And then 4 years from now, you can then turn it back into a purity contest and decide who might make a difference. But I would hope that they would nominate the person that has the best chance to win. But I totally agree with you. This number of people and the infighting between them makes me feel that if I were a betting man and someone said to me right now in June of 2019, you had to put money down, I would bet that Trump is reelected without a doubt. And part of that is because of the chaotic muddling of these candidates. And I couldn't say that I saw this coming. I thought that people would, you know, Trump's opponents would say, all right, we need a completely different strategy. And instead, it's just turned into something we've never seen before. It's like people coming out of the woodwork and announcing and then just attacking each other. And Trump just gives them all a crazy nickname and lashed them off on Twitter. So yep. Every time I think, you know, you and I have these conversations, every time I think, like, you know, it can't get even more bizarre, we just keep seeing things we've never seen before. And so I'm baffled by this, and I'm watching it with much interest. But I'm also, I'm happy, you know, as somebody who once used to be such, I had more of a purist mentality and so on. Right now, I would, for the short term, vote for whoever could beat Trump, and then we'll figure it out from there. But it doesn't seem like that's what they're thinking. And if it's Biden who wins, I mean, can he win against Donald Trump? I mean, he doesn't seem like the strongest candidate. And when you think about who you have to be to stand up to him in debates, and how Trump just bullied, and remember what he did to Jeb Bush. I mean, he just literally, like a schoolyard bully, he basically chased him off the schoolyard. And so you have to have a certain makeup to deal with someone like that. So if you ask me, if you said, all right, nominate someone for the Democratic Party, I would pick Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'd pick another celebrity, a bigger, better celebrity than him that can out-talk him and is physically more dominating than him. Say, let's be crazy. Let's be absolutely crazy and say, well, if anyone can be president and it's just a popularity contest, well, then give me the more popular guy who's going to vote Trump, who's going to chase Trump off the school judge. So there's my answer. Okay. I vote for The Rock.
Yeah, right.
How about you?
Well, that would be interesting. I might go for Bernie, actually. I don't agree with everything that he says. At least a large part of what he says makes sense to me. But
let me quickly ask you, at this early point in the situation, how do you feel Bernie would do in a national election one-on-one against Trump? Do you think he could do that?
I think he has more of a chance than the rest, because he has a different platform, a new platform. The thing that I think the main thing that got Trump in there is that he was an outsider. He was different. He was a little bit crazy, and people wanted crazy.
Yeah, and I will give Bernie is the only candidate running who already had an infrastructure from 4 years ago.
Exactly.
And he did create, you know, he did create a lot of people coming out for him. It just, you know, he's another very old white guy. But if
I know that, if that's one of the things that's very much against him. But who, he knows how to do the social media stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what got him his base. Well, we're going to have to cut that interview short, but we'll see you on the other side of the station break when we bring you the news from Moon Rock Lake.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. from Richard Dolan, we hear, we can't trust anything that comes out of the United States government's official mouth at all, not ever, not under George W. Bush, not under Obama, and not under Trump. The UFO reality is so deep, it is so revolutionary, it is so disturbing, it has caused so much profound criminal secrecy over an entire human lifetime. It is literally not possible legally to officially disclose this without a lot of heads rolling politically. A lot of people would be angry about being lied to for over 70 years. On top of that, you've got the revolutionary implications of the transfer of our energy paradigm, which certainly would happen in the aftermath of a genuine disclosure. Whatever these objects are using to travel, it's not petroleum. Whatever it is going to be better than what we have, and that portends a complete revolution to our society in ways that are unimaginable to the power structure. Beyond that, there are countless ramifications to disclosure, all of which are revolutionary. And if there's one thing the hierarchical elite does not want, it is a revolution. A message in the Boone's Farm Bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy.
And now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater something something. Real voices with a message you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. And now we hear the voice of Richard Dolan. Fascinating to me that after more than 70 years of officially sanctioned debunking, officially sanctioned ridicule and dismissal, the people still want to know about this subject. Think about that. I believe it because despite the lifetime of propaganda directed against it, despite the fact that our establishment news culture almost completely ignores it, despite the virtual priests of our officially sanctioned reality telling you there's nothing to it, too many people have experienced it. They know otherwise. They know. They feel it in their bones. They know they're being lied to. They know something important is being concealed from them. This subject matters to every single person on this planet because it represents something that will shatter our reality and begin the process of creating something new. The reality of this has been known for many years. It's a cover-up. It's a conspiracy. Have you noticed how the word conspiracy has become a dirty word? Been like that for a long time, but especially so in the last decade. The media that they control, that works hand in glove with the power elite, has made a concerted effort to convince you that conspiracies don't exist. But in fact, the news media has been complicit with this cover-up since the beginning. The information has come to me many times that it's real and they're here. How is it you get these public figures that constantly come back to the tired cliches of jokes about little green men or denial of the obvious facts that we're not alone here on this planet, that there are others, that they're working this world, that interacting with us in ways that are important and covered because, yes, within the classified world, people know. These secrets won't be suppressed forever. There's a quiet community out there right now of extremely well-plugged-in people who know the truth and are trying to find out a way to safely reveal it. They're all concerned with how to tell the world without significant repercussions coming down on them. When this reality truly comes out, not just in dribs and drab, but with force and power, and it will, then we are looking at revolutionary implications, and there will be people in positions of power who will have to answer some very uncomfortable questions. The end of UFO secrecy is coming. Might be in 10 years. Might be this year.
Now we hear the voice of Fred Hampton, member of the Black Panther Party, who was gunned down in a raid by members of the Chicago Police Department on December 4th, 1969. If you're asked to make a commitment at the age of 20 and you say, I don't want to make a commitment only because of the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did is you're dead already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not struggle, then God damn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. And I believe that I'm going to do my job. And I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I've got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die of lung cancer. I think I'm going to be able to die doing the things I was born for. I believe I will be able to die as a revolutionary. Why don't you love the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people? Nominations are currently being accepted to rename all the places we have named for horrible people. Ronald Reagan National Airport, the 10th Mountain Division Highway, 90th Infantry Division Highway, 173rd Airborne Brigade Memorial Highway, Gerald Ford Memorial Highway, George Bush Intercontinental Airport. If we're going to name things after famous bad people, then why not, well, how about Ted Bundy National Cemetery, John Wayne Gacy International Airport, or Jeffrey Dahmer Memorial Freeway, the Charles Manson Space Needle? Rather, here's a thought, why not name things for good people rather than terrible people? Why not Dan and Phil Berrigan International Airport, Dorothy Day Interstate, the Emma Goldman Freeway? Brought to you by citizens for naming things after good people rather than horrible people. And we're also sponsored tonight by Greatest Generation Beer, brewed from the finest something-something. Look for the long-haired hippie on the red, white, and blue can, because it's not about killing just because somebody tells you to and not being smart enough to think for yourself. It's all about the courage to fight for what is really right. Greatest Generation Beer. It is actually great.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Thinking the Unthinkable by Solomon Sendak, Moon Rock Lake. Letter to the editor. Moon Rock Lake, Wednesday Miracle. There are things we don't or can't understand. A reasonable man, a healthy man, a sane man, when he encounters the inexplicable, forgets about it. Maurice Minifield, Northern Exposure. Where was I on Moon Landing Day? July 20, 1969, a Sunday. They say the Lunar Landing Module Eagle touched onto the moon at 3:18 p.m. Central Time in the Sea of Tranquility. Neil Armstrong announces the Eagle has landed. Mission Control erupts. The crowd goes wild. I would have been between 8th and 9th grades, probably out playing baseball at Central Park. Probably holding a ball glove, standing in the living room, watching our little black and white TV, wanting to get back to the game, but not wanting to miss this. Probably I went back to the game and then came home for supper, getting settled in for Lassie, the FBI, the Wonderful World of Disney, the Ed Sullivan Show, and Bonanza. Uncle Collins drove the getaway vehicle, Apollo 11, waiting for Aldrin and Armstrong to return with their heist, rocks and dust. January 1969, Joe Namath had led the Jets over the Colts. Richard Nixon entered the White House. The Beatles gave their last public performance. The Battle of Hamburger Hill was fought in May. In August, the Manson murders take place in Los Angeles. And Woodstock happens in upstate New York. In September, the Chicago 8 go on trial. In October, Walmart Incorporated says Walmart Stores Incorporated. And the Mets win the World Series. November gave us Sesame Street and the Me Lai Master. In December, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark are murdered in Chicago. In 68, Martin and Bobby had died. I believed in it all, lock, stock, and barrel. I wanted to be a New York Yankee or a Green Bay Packer. I wasn't the only one. I'm not sure when I began to doubt, but I thank someone that it finally happened. I think doubting is good, especially when you're talking about the world and people. Eventually, you have to believe in something. Don't lap up the very first thing they set in front of you, would be my advice. Recently read a book about the moon landings, Paul McCartney and the Holocaust. Well, the 12th row, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in there as well, because if those things are lies, we might wonder what else is going on around here. Well, if the stories we've heard about the moon landings, Paul McCartney, and the Holocaust be lies, why would someone lie? Well, as Professor James Tracy puts it, modern propaganda techniques utilized by the corporate state to enforce anti-democratic and destructive policies routinely entail the manufacture and manipulation of news events to mold public opinion. And as Edward Bernays put it, engineer consent towards certain ends. Up walking around Moon Rock Lake in the 50s and 60s, you pretty much believe everything, everybody. You just do. You see your president on the TV, and you pretty much think life is awesome. But then he gets killed. And his brother, too. You grow up going to church, and you agree that whole thing is the real deal, and you decide you want to be a priest. And then maybe not so much. You read the Wednesday Miracle, and wow, what would it be like to be a part of something like that, to smell the ink? Free donuts sometimes. Right in on the action. You see Bobby Kennedy come through town, speak at the train station, you think the Democratic Party sits on the right hand of God. The Apollo 11 press conference. Armstrong, Aldrin, Collins, after they came back from the moon. You ever seen that? Well, long time I've wanted to know the truth, to really know it, but I don't. I haven't seen a real inside document, but I've seen glimpses. Cannot imagine the people behind the scenes, those of us who eat at Perkins and call it a big night out. How can we imagine the people who really run the world? We cannot. We get our glimpses by chasing after a piece of paper blowing across the Quick Trip parking lot, thinking it's a winning lottery ticket, and then reading the labored writing in pencil, the secret note on the back. Thinking the unthinkable about your own government, your own church, your own friends, your own president, even your own space astronaut that you've seen on TV while eating a giant, perfectly rounded Jethro bowl heap of strawberry swirl ice cream. But it seems we have to go there. I've done my homework. Reading and watching on the internet about the moon, about Paul McCartney, JFK, RFK, MLK, Paul Wellstone, about the Holocaust, Sandy Hook, Boston, Oklahoma City, Waco, Operation Northwoods, and all that. I believe that if the news tells us about a bunch of baby blue suspicious backpacks in Bemidji with a reasonable man, the healthy man, the sane man thinks FBI, CIA, NSA. We think we see all there is to see in the world in our peripheral vision as we watch the Tonight Show on TV. We err by limiting ourselves in that way. There is more. Whoever these guys and gals are who are creating this messed up world, they are smart and they are full time. They don't have to work 9 jobs, drop their kids off at daycare at 5 in the morning to make things work. So we have a tough job, but we can do it. A young boy grows up expecting everything and everyone to be good. He figures out to power off and Trump's good, but he does well not to be a part of all that. To give up on that heart of a young boy too soon. I believe there's more, and I want to know. Don't you? When you see these things, there's nothing you should put back, could put past the capability of government to do. Whatever it has to do to maintain power, it does. We were so naive back in the old days. We had to learn, I'm afraid, the hard way. William Pepper, attorney for Sirhan Sirhan and the King family. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats and journalists are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. New American Dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget. No UFO files that Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. Well, that's our dream. To become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about all these wars, this utter debacle, put them on trial, put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream. Not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job, and they all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He continued the wars everywhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Yeah, Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole. Well, no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" These were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie. The killers in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. We're very near the end of another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. Hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. And now, thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thanks again to you, Chuck, for all you did to make the show possible, all the interviews, the technical stuff, all that. And thanks to our guests, Ava Bird, Azura Cristino, Mickey Z, Philip Ferruggio, and Frank Rodero. If you'd like to contact the guests, you could write to me at nwestiowa@gmail.com. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you will find information about all of our regular guests, also the show archives. They're at newdream.us. And also remember Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, you can write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And if you'd like to donate to Richard Flamer and the Chiapas Catholic Worker, you write to the Chiapas Project in care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izzard, I-Z-A-R-D, Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102. And they have a website, thechiapasproject.com. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hallstrom. Good night, Ken Ray. Good night, Omar Minata. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing, and you'll spread your wings and you'll take to the sky. But till that morning, there ain't nothing can harm you. With Daddy and Mommy standing by. Oh yes, one of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. And you'll spread your wings and you'll take to the sky. But till that morning, there ain't nothing can harm you. With Daddy and Mommy standing by. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
We'll be right back after this message.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.